You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, this is Adam Torres, and I'm here to tell you that it has never been easier to start your very own podcast. At Mission Matters, our goal is to amplify stories that matter. That means we want to help you start your podcast because your story matters. We can do this in three different ways. One, join our podcast school and take a free or paid course. Two, visit our resources page where we've already figured out what you need, such as where to host your podcast. Or three, heck, we can even do everything for you through our podcast agency, including editing for cheaper than you can do in-house. Oh, and no contracts, services month to month. Get started by heading over to missionmatters.com and click on Start a Podcast. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Mission Matters Business Podcast, your source for all things business. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of our upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. So today we're doing a book release episode with one of our authors, Stephen Deason, who's founder and CEO of the Oparasa Group. He was recently featured as one of our contributing authors and business leaders, Mission Matters Business Leaders, volume number 4. And the title of Stephen's chapter is So What, Who Cares, and Why It Matters. First off, Stephen, hey, welcome back to the show, man. Glad to have you back.
Thank you for having me on again, Adam. I appreciate it.
So I have to ask, how do you feel? I mean, you're done, the book's out, you have, the content's out, people are reading it. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good in a lot of ways. I mean, the book's fantastic. The experience was amazing. Being in there with all of the other great leaders and authors was exciting. Really enjoyed going through the process. I have my first Amazon book author page, which is amazing. So
yes, congratulations. Oh, man.
That's
so good. So, Stephen, we're going to get into the book. We're going to get into some of the content. For everybody listening, we can only get so much in a podcast episode. We do want you to go buy the books. We sell books over here, so go do that. There'll be some links in the show notes, depending on where you're watching this. But we're going to get into the content. We're going to get into the chapter. But before we do, I don't want to assume that all of our new listeners caught the first episode that we did together. So maybe let's just start off with you talking a little bit more about what you're doing over at the Oparasa Group, please.
Yeah, so the Oparasa Group is a social enterprise. We are a purpose-driven business that helps people build worth in recovery. And we consider that recovery from sort of any disadvantaged group. The group we're focused on at the moment is with involving the opioid epidemic. We have we'll lose about 75,000 young people to opioid overdose deaths in the United States this year. To put that in context, that means that more young people have died this year of opioid overdoses than died in the entire 7 years of the Vietnam War and its early September. So we consider that a big social challenge. We also look at poverty in other areas. And as I said, we are a purpose-driven business. Our purpose is to leverage capitalism to help people improve their lives. And as I say in the chapter in the book, to kind of tie out to that, we help people improve their aim, get closer to the mark that they're aiming for in life, which generally is a successful and a fulfilling life.
Now, I love it. And I love your story and I love the mission. It's one of the reasons why I'm so proud to publish your work. So let's just dive into the chapter. We're going to build that out. We're going to refer back to the Oparasa Group and what you're doing. So title of the chapter, So What, Who Cares, and Why It Matters. What was the inspiration for this?
Well, the inspiration for it was one of my early jobs, and I remember very distinctly an amazing mentor of mine. Her name was Karen Constant, and Karen hammered into me this idea of when I'm speaking, always ask those questions in my mind. So why am I saying this? Who is it in my audience that cares about it, and why does this matter to them? And those are the three things that if we focus on, you know, that's been 25, almost 30 years ago now, but if we can stay focused on so what, who cares, and why it matters in the things that we do, then we can be of service to other people around us, and we can bring value to them in a way that they might not have experienced before. And hopefully they can bring value to others in the world. And then it just becomes a self-propagating positive momentum vehicle.
So in your chapter, you talk about being purpose-driven and the way that you built Oberasa Group into a purpose-driven organization, and also leveraging capitalism. So I want to spend some time building out that thought process of leveraging capitalism, because I think that you're very purpose-driven. You have a very specific reason for starting Oberasa Group. But I think that sometimes most people, or many people, I should say, think that there has to be this trade-off between being purpose-driven and making money. And that's just not the case.
Adam, I think one of the most important things that we fail to understand in our society is the power of the capitalistic engine. So if you don't mind, I'm going to step up on a soapbox real quick for just a
second. I want that soapbox. You better get on that thing. I'm visualizing it right now. You look good on that soapbox. Do it, Stephen.
Thank you. Milton Friedman was a big proponent of the idea of price economics, and he used to talk about this idea of the factors of production, and economists have been talking about those for years. Capitalism and socialism and communism are three of the big philosophies that we have in our world that drive forms of government. Capitalism is unique in this. When you own the factors of production, you get to own the output of the factors of production. No concept is more powerful than that. In other words, I own land, labor, equipment, whatever it happens to be, capital. I own those things, and because I have some ownership in them, whether it's shares of a company or a small, painting organization that does house painting, I get to own both the inputs and the outputs of that vehicle. And what that does is it incentivizes people in the proper way to find gaps in the market and to bring value to others in a way that no other form of government has ever done. And what we try to do in our business is try to get people. So there's this misconception in our world that just, oh, these capitalistic pigs, capitalism is bad. We need to take everything away from everybody and redistribute wealth. And I'm not going to argue that might be beneficial in some scenarios. I'm not going to. That's not the argument. The argument is that if I get to have the benefit of the output of my work, my thought, my labor, then I have every incentive to get out there in the world and create value for others, because other people are capable of and willing to pay me so that I can use the mechanism of the transfer of wealth, money, so that I can use that mechanism to buy things that matter to me. Whether that's a really nice sports car or food for the homeless or something to provide my children with a better education and a better future. We're not making any judgments, any value judgments here over what your moral values are. What we're doing is we're saying that if you want more of that, capitalism provides you with the vehicle to do it. Can we give you the tools to understand the capitalistic engines and build one of your own? Full stop.
No, that's awesome. And I'm just a big fan of the work. And I do want to also spend a little bit of time here. I know you launched your Amazon page. You got your first book under there. But I understand you're already I'm a writer. You're a writer. I understand you're working on the next book also already, which I'm like, man, this guy is a monster. So and you talk a little bit about it in your chapter two. So Valued, How Purpose-Driven Businesses Can Conquer Addiction and Marginalization in America. So, I mean, talk to us a little bit about your plans for the book, and give us some of that insight. We want some of that inside knowledge from my audience.
Well, think about why the reasons are that people start to behave what we consider behave poorly. It's because they have no hope. Maybe they're suicidal. Maybe they want to get out of life. Maybe it's scary to them, whatever it is. If I give you control over the things that you can get control over, and I allow you to see that you can create a valuable life for yourself, building block by building block, then can't I give you the opportunity to build the life that you want so that you can live the life that you want to live? And isn't that one of the most powerful concepts that we have in our society that is basically has spread all over the globe in my lifetime? That's what Valued is about. It's about businesses ranging from everything from bread making to, Ben and Jerry's, all the way to Tom's Shoes to Warby Parker glasses, about companies and organizations that have gone out and said, there are two things that we're going to do. We're going to build a great business, and a great business can only be built by great people. And the way we're going to attract the great people to build our business is we're going to focus those people on, not only are you doing one thing with us every day that you sell a pair of glasses or create a loaf of bread, you're building a profitable business and you own part of that output, but you're also helping somebody in a third world country, somebody reintegrate into society from prison, somebody, you're also helping someone in need. And that's the power of capitalism. We can do two things at once and do a great job at both of them, not because the end user cares about whether the glasses are going, but because the employees care about it, because it matters deeply to the soul of the company.
Man, that's awesome. That's great. And I'm excited for that book too. And I know, I guess that's, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to promote two books on one podcast or what episode or what. I don't care. I'm going to have you back in the podcast for that one too. They're going to think you're the co-host over here. I can't wait till this one's launched too, because I'm going to bring you back and we're going to go a deep dive into that book too. But, for today, Stephen, I do want to cover one last point in the chapter before we call it. Only so much we can get in this one today, but you also go a little bit further into just the idea of how we got here. So on history and style. So talk a little bit more about the management style, because I think some of the things that you're doing are just really unique over at Operasa overall.
Well, I think the way that I open up the chapter, and I'm going to drop this, right, is that the first words that I have in the chapter are, men like to pee on things. Mm-hmm. And then I go on and and that's kind of jarring, and it's intentionally so. And there's a lot of subtlety there, but we move into the concept of the nudge. Richard Thaler, the Nobel Prize winning economist at the University of Chicago, spends a lot of time talking about nudges. Nudges are these ideas that we have about how we influence behavior without being overt about it. Meaning, I'm not going to slap you into behaving a certain way. I'm going to demonstrate to you that it is, in some sense, in your best interest, and even in a better sense, it's fun to behave in a way that is aligned with your best interests over time. And so what we try to drive into this organization, and I think we do a pretty good job of it most days, is the idea that, yes, it's complicated. Business is complicated. It's hard. It's difficult. And it's also fun, because you're building an engine, a very, very complex, the most complex engines on earth are capitalistic constructs. You know, whether that's General Electric, Microsoft, Apple, Google, et cetera, right? All the way down to the local car shop in your community. Those are very, very complex engines. And if you understand how they work, then you have the ability to pull the levers at the right time in the right places in order to create profits. And those profits, because you own the factors of production, flow into your pockets and therefore allow you, again, to live the life that you want to live. So everything that we do, rather than building a company that's all about dictating control, what we do is we decentralize as much as possible the decision processes so that the people in the organization have the ability to understand the piece of the economic engine that they're affecting. And through that process, empowering each individual in it to start to be able to control the piece of the engine that is of interest to them. So it's all about helping people find the things, nudging people in the right direction so that they find the things that they enjoy the most doing, so that they can derive the most satisfaction and the most profitability in their life. As an economist would say, so that they can optimize their utility curve.
Man, I'm in, Stephen, and I love the nudges you're giving us over here right now, and I love this nudge overall. So I'm in. Where are we going next, Stephen? You know I'm in. So that being said, I'll just say it again. So congrats again for being in the book, and thank you. And it was an honor to publish you, and I'm happy to bring this this content to my readers. And I think I benefited a lot from reading it myself, so I'm sure they will too. But so Stephen, if somebody else is listening to this and they do want to learn more about the Oberasa Group or how to get involved or your services, I mean overall, I mean how do they connect with you and your team?
Well, Adam, they can look at one of our websites. We have the https://, oparasa.com, which is our commercial site, or .org, which is, of course, the site where we have our programmatic aspects. And I would like to close up with this. The neatest thing about our model is we just hit yesterday 6 months in existence, and we just passed a run rate of $500,000 a year in revenue, and I think we're on track to do a little bit better than that. So the model is working quite nicely.
Mm.
So if you're interested in what we're doing and how we're doing it, again, https://oparasa.com and .org.
Fantastic. Well, that's freaking amazing. That's freaking amazing, number one, and congrats and on the success. And I'm glad to hear the model is working. And that's proof. The proof's in the numbers which you're giving. So I appreciate you volunteering that. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. If you did, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave me a review on the Apple iTunes store. And if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, Mission Matters Business, definitely give us a subscribe there, but also leave some comments in the video. Love to know what kind of projects and things that you're working on. And Stephen, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Adam.